This is your 5 minute call, company. This is your 5 minute call.
Please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Beginners to stage, please. Beginners to stage.
Please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Treading the Boards by Ellen McGinnis, performed by Katie Budair. Treading the Boards. If only they understood the depth of what that means. The things I have felt and seen. I was once a mighty oak, the matriarch of a vast forest. The wind roared through my branches, and birds nested and sang within me. But that was before. Now I creak as they cross my stage, bringing depth to their performance, as I stretch under their weight and support their storytelling. Pounding boots run across me, the noise and devastation of war. Stage blood seeps into me, nourishing my wooden soul. I tremble to my core. Theater gives me meaning now. I cannot help but be moved by these scenes. The pain of loss echoes my own journey. It reminds me of the forest. As the years passed, great rings grew inside me. Now my wood grain provides a fitting stage for their stories. I feel all their joy and hate, anger and surprise, laughter. I vibrate with their passion. The tenderness of love finds a fitting bed against me. And hope. Always hope. The complexity of humanity, so alien and intriguing to me. I inhale as I feel the breath of the actor. I understand that. As they are grounded, they are at one with the audience, with me. As I was once grounded by my vast roots into the deepness of the earth and bonded to all creatures, giving life to the forest, as they are grounded now with command of silence and space. We are connected. We are one. We echo together. We are powerful. We are divine. Theater, storytelling, meaning. It is simply everything. The theater is my forest now, and I am proud to give birth to it as they tread my boards.
To be or not to be. That is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or take arms against a sea of...
Piece of work, isn't he? I went to school with him, you know, back when he was Brian Weston instead of Bran Weston. Amazing how much more important you can sound if you just move some vowels around. He keeps them for himself. You heard him. To be or not to be. Sort of takes the music out of it, doesn't it? You know, for a soliloquy about killing yourself, it's sort of jolly sounding. To be or not to be. To be or not to be. It's even better in French. Être ou ne pas être. And then there's the Italian. Essere o non essere. If you layer all those on top of each other, you have a shoe of fire, dance it. I always sort of wondered what you'd do if you wanted to do it in a language that doesn't have to be in it. What would you say? Live or not live? Makes the meaning pretty clear. Don't want to make it too easy for the school groups. I don't usually sit here like this. Most productions I'm a soldier or a guard or something. One, I understudied the play A Queen. It never went on, but I got all done up in white paint every night. It was great for the Instagram. Didn't get anything this round, though. They wouldn't want a northern hamlet. Nor a woman, neither. Let alone one over 35. Maybe one at a time. But all three? No chance. So I'm happy to be a stagehand. It's nice to just be in the theatre. Feel needed. Usually I have more to do, but this is a punishment of sorts. Last night I forgot to set the sculling time, and our Bran out there panicked and just clasped poor Horatio's head between his hands for the whole speech, just smooshing his cheeks like this. So I have to sit here with, alas, poor Yorick, and wait to set it nice and proper. This skull has seen better days, I think. No school budget to be had. You know, from the back seats, it looks almost real. From here, made in Taiwan. Once the gravedigger dropped it and a tooth shot out into the front row, nearly took out a geezer in the front row. We called that night an interactive experience. There are so many cracks and chips in it. They filled it in with Tippex. Ugh, the smell makes me sick. Our Ophelia is a young one, just out of Lambda. No Tippex on her. I sometimes feel I should be jealous of her, but I just don't have the energy. She's a well-meaning thing. It's hard not to look at her and not remember all my past sins, all the things I wish I'd done the right way. But the world's a different place now. Even in the 15 years since I started, everyone's so able to be true to themselves in a way I just could never do. That's why I liked acting. I don't want to be true to myself. I want to be true to someone else. You can really see his eyes glaze over until he's got another part. Others talk and he just hears blah, 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 Hamlet. Words, 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 Hamlet. Maybe this is supposed to be part of my punishment. To watch someone do the best part ever written for an actor, as though he's alone on stage. I'd say next time I won't audition, but I know I will. I just skip over the righteous anger of not being cast and the desperation of being ignored and just ask myself, what comes next? Because you know, actually, I've got the skull. Everyone out there is waiting for the skull. They just saw To Be or Not To Be, and a lot of them are thinking that that's the one with the skull. And where is the skull? And won't they be so happy to see it once I decide the time is right? And only I have that power. That's why they say there are no small parts, only small actors. I don't even have a part. And I'm probably the most important person here right now. And what would I do otherwise anyway? Even in my darkest moments, I just picture some job seekers woman looking at my CV and it puts me right. Theatre is really the only place where skull holder has upward mobility. Or maybe a morgue, I suppose. But if a Tippex skull makes me queasy, I think it's best I don't mess with real ones. No, I'm stuck in. There's something about being in a theatre. Where else can you hold a glorified piece of crumbling plastic and still have arguably the most important job in the house? Maybe one day people will get sick of hearing this century-old stuff getting cranked out night after night. But I won't be the first one out of the door, even getting to sit here and be part of it. It's all I've ever wanted. The rest is... Soliloquy, written by Erin Marie Quinlan. Performed by Miriam Barbaram.
Tailoring by Eleanor Capaldi, read by Avril Poole. I haven't been seen for 5 years, hidden to the side. My measurements are made for hips and curves, so not the primary choice for the leading man. I watch the eager searching faces of those working on the production, wishing they'd pick me. But no, it's always a slightly sleeker version, one with a bit more spark, pizzazz, charisma. I'm sure I have that. I've been working on myself. Tying up loose threads, knots in the strays, snipping split ends, ironing out the creases. This is what I was made for. Everything has a purpose, clear to you or not. Some form of calling. This is mine. It doesn't need to be centre stage. I'm happy to support, add to the overall picture. One piece in the board. Everything has its place. Except mine has more recently been consigned off stage. Something about not being the right fit. I'm exactly as I should be. Just perhaps not designed for what everyone else has in mind. That last outing. It was glorious. Matched with a waistcoat and top hat. I really looked the part. Motes of dust in the spotlight landed on me invisibly, and I didn't mind. It all added to the story. History stitched in the seams. She wore me so well. She strode. Hands on hips, fingers on collar, legs crossed, legs apart, knowing exactly where to stop and start. The presence. Audience wrapped around her finger. I carried her. She held me together.
A Place of Seeing, written by Nick Maynard, performed by Jennifer Bequan.
I am of this place. Of here. I exist in the fabric of these walls, all staccato and painted pomp. I belong to this race of rogues and vagabonds, my brethren all, who seek their fortune in pennies and platitudes. Here where sadness lingers and echoes prompt me still to recall a full life emptied into a dream as my own is sacrificed upon the altar. Before me a sea of faces, blank. An unrecognizable storm brewing beyond the footlights still, I lose myself in you. My soul transformed into something that is not me, but of me. A creation conjured, an incantation I perform each night, for spirits to appear, but to what end? And what cost? Also, that we might happen to make a stranger who sits in the darkness feel something of his humanity, and perhaps sheds a tear for his fellow man. That ghost light flickers bright. I can hardly see beyond the edge, but I can feel it still. Expression hangs in this place like a sickness, all heavy and thick like pitch, seeping into every pore. You can't wash it away. Damn spot. You look to find the truth in a lie, a falsehood played by adults that only children understand, with deadpan, grease-painted smiles, all drawn on and cracked. And still we tread the boards with all their creaks and whistles full, so loud they deafen, like tumultuous applause from the gods and the galleries, halfpenny promises and half-eaten pride. You learn to second-guess your every thought, your every sadness. Is it real, or nothing but a sketch of what might have been? Is it you or them that feels the cold? You rush to the stage door in search of recognition. Your made-up name on their made-up lips, all familiar yet strange. You have raised them to their feet and took your bow again and again, yet still you stand here in someone else's clothes, being told where to go, and what to say. Every word is not your own. Every thought is someone else's. A living doll, posed and prone. You learn to be yourself through someone else, a proxy home for wandering souls. A rehearsed tragedy is always a comedy, and so you are written in laughter and tears. And then you wait for the applause to come and cleanse you. That sign of universal approval, to wash away your fears. I belong to this place. I am part of this ungodly tribe of roughs and vagabonds who pinch pennies, and so I wait for my encore. Amidst the lamplight and heavy curtains of night, to say thank you once again for the honour of it all, and that last farewell and adieu. I sleep now.
Celebrate World Theatre Day, written and performed by Deanne Black. If all the world's a stage, should I speak quietly or express creative rage? Is the dialogue etched in my heart or written on the page? Am I background as the world goes by? Do I stand front of stage and tell the characters truths or fictional lies? And all the while the audience expects to be entertained, stories past and present explained in words and actions with scenery and costumes by those on stages worldwide. If I could touch 100 hearts and make them feel what isn't real while they're in the theatre, the drama, the comedy, the musical or soliloquy, I would forgo being quiet. I'd smile and shout in the spotlight. I am strong, I am brave. I love that the world is but a stage that I now play to celebrate World Theatre Day.